Hallelujah.
Today, I want us to jump into a kind of continuation. I believe the Lord is speaking to us concerning praying for the next generation. Let's put up the title. The title is Seeing What God Sees and Saying What God Says. Would you say that with me? Seeing what God sees and saying what God says. And even this morning, I was quickened to take a moment and front-load the message with the reality of the absolute miracle involved to come to salvation in Jesus Christ to receive eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ is everything to stand in awe of and nothing to turn away from. And as I talk right now, I'm asking that the eyes of our... That's why we did that opening song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I'm going to ask that the eyes of our heart be opened to the wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ, who He truly is. Would you just lift your head with me? Father God, in Jesus' name, let every lie be bound. Let every self-made shield come down. And let each heart receive the love and power for what You've done for us. Amen. So this is the little front-loaded part here. On the day of Christ's crucifixion, His blood poured from His body in the short order of 6 hours. This kind of profuse bleeding on the cross was unheard of. The average person being crucified took 6 days to die if their legs were not broken. Jesus told His disciples that His blood would be given for the forgiveness of sins. And so His blood and body are the redemptive agency by which each person comes into eternal life. Jesus gave His life. He poured out His life for us. Jesus' physical body experienced hemorrhagic shock, which is severe blood loss leading to inadequate oxygen to deliver to the cells of the body. Jesus was fully aware of what He was doing in the midst of His immense suffering for us. He was indeed the sacrificial and physical blood sacrifice for all of humanity. When He cried out on the cross these words, "It is finished," He declared that the debt of our sin, the payment for our sins that we could not pay, had indeed been paid for by Him. He carried our sins, our griefs, our sorrows to the cross. And in the midst of this great physical torturous suffering, we, you and I, were the joy that was set before Him. You and I were the reason He endured the cross. You and I were the reason that He despised the shame that our sins put upon us. In the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We cannot exalt Him enough. We cannot praise Him enough. Those who turn away from the reality of His personal and willing sacrifice for all of us have no other option of this life beyond this life except the eternal torment that our sins deserve, which quite honestly is simply being locked up from the very love that we were designed to receive, that God designed us to experience. This is divine justice, that the sinless Son of God gave His life in exchange for the sinful race of fallen Adam and every person who's ever known the depths of the love of God gives, now can come into the embrace of love unspeakable, love indescribable, love overwhelming, and love that our hearts were created for. This powerful love enters the human soul through fellowship with Father God through Jesus Christ's accomplished work, and is poured into us by the Holy Spirit who enters our lives when we open to this profound and eternal relationship. Our redemption from sin is so mind-blowing that the angels of heaven in absolute awe of how God created man in his own image and likeness, and then came personally to the earth to redeem them back through his own death in our behalf. Angels are created by God to be ministers of God in our behalf. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those to inherit salvation?" Just one more thing in this regard. The moment Jesus gave his life, the earth shook, and this earthquake that occurred, there was another physical sign that happened. Matthew 27:51. "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split." Why is this curtain, and what is this curtain, and why is it so important to us? Ever since the tabernacle was built, and subsequently the temple was built, this massive word picture that God uses this for was to teach the Israelites about the sacrifice that was required for the forgiveness of sins. All of this is simply foreshadowing the coming of Christ to be the sacrificial lamb. There was an outer court, and then a holy place and the holy of holies. The holy place and the holy of holies were separated by this curtain. And the high priest would enter the holy of holies behind the curtain by the sprinkling of the blood of the sacrificial animals. Now just put to a blank screen, and I'm just going to read you out of the Passion Translation. The old system, this is Hebrews 10:1-6, I believe. "The old system of living under the law presented us with only a faint shadow, a crude outline of the reality of the wonderful blessings to come. Even with its steady stream of sacrifices offered year after year, there was still nothing that could make our hearts perfect before God. For if animal sacrifices could once and for all eliminate sin, they would have ceased to be offered, and the worshipers would have clean consciences. Instead, once was not enough. So by repetitive sacrifices year after year, the worshipers were continually reminded of their sins with their hearts still impure. For what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? So, when Jesus the Messiah came into the world, he said, 'Since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body that I might offer myself instead.' Multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. So I say to you, God, I will be the one and go and do your will to fulfill all that is written of me in your word." First he said, multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice, even though the law required them to be offered. And then he said, "God, I will be the one to go and do your will." So by being the sacrifice that removes sin, he abolishes animal sacrifices and replaces the entire system with the new covenant. By God's will, we have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. Hallelujah. 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 That's what we're going for in our souls and salvation for the next generation, for our nation. We want everyone to experience, we want everyone to encounter. You know, if you have an argument, somebody can argue you out of your argument. But if you have an encounter, and you have the love of God profoundly enter your life, and change you and break you free from something that you struggled with for years, you know him And it doesn't matter how many arguments you hear, you go, that doesn't work on me. I know the one who touched me with the flame of his love. I'm his. Now, we looked a couple of weeks ago at Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29, at the deaf and dumb child that was tormented by demons and thrown into the fire and water and tried to kill himself, was suffering from suicidal thoughts that brought on by the devil that was tormenting him. And this pictures much of what's going on today in the children that are bound by the devil and suffering from depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts and attempts of suicide. The child could not help himself. The parents of the child could not help him. The followers of Jesus at that moment, they couldn't help him. But Jesus did. And Jesus did, and the disciples then grew in the anointing to help, and they received his instruction. So we put up this as our marching orders. Mark 9, 29, and he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out but by anything but prayer. And an anointing, an assignment for prayer has rested on our congregation. And the Lord has motivated by his Spirit the concept that we're going to receive miracles, that he's going to break people free. He's going to loose them, and that's why we're praying. Would you just go ahead and lift your head again and say, anoint me powerfully, O Lord, for such a time as this, that the children coming up would receive you in the fullness of your glory. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 49, 24 and 25, this next part of the verse, can the prey of be taken from the mighty, and the prey as these kids, and the mighty as this work of darkness? Or can the captives of the tyrant be rescued? The next slide says, for thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. I love this verse with all my heart. For I will contend, the Lord says, with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. And so this burden is of the Lord has come upon us. And then the Lord, we preached on breaking, renouncing the generational sins, and an anointing came upon our congregation. And many of you said that, you know, I went home and I just wept before the Lord, and there was this breaking up of things, that anything inside of our life that could hinder the next generation or our family line, that the Lord wanted to deal with that. In fact, it was the way the Lord kind of set me into thinking about that was, you know, first of all, Lord is so precious. He's just so precious. And he's so personable. And he knows you. He knows me. He knows us. It was like the Lord said, well, you know what message you need to preach next week, don't you? I said, renouncing generational sins. He says, you got it. Then, out of the blue, the Lord just breathed on me last week this picture of the Valley of Dry Bones. My. The next generation God intends to raise up is an exceeding great army. And we looked at the idea of what makes bones dry. And the Word of God says, Proverbs 17, 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And there's so many of this generation that are crushed in spirit. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to rise up and begin to speak and say the things that I would say and to declare what I would declare. Because Ezekiel, whose name means God strengthens, was spoken to. It says, you go speak to the dry bones. You speak to them. So can these bones live? I don't know. Yes. But you got to speak to them. And so, even down in the verse, I'm going to jump to the, even down to the verse, it says, behold, they say. They're negative words that people have, locking them in darkness. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. Indeed, we are cut off. There's an attitude, but the Lord wants to, he's declaring to us, he says, this is the next verse, the slide, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, next slide, and they shall live, and I will place you in your land, and you will know that I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. And so I had you lift up your voice, and I would shout out a phrase, and you would shout it out, and we decreed, dry bones come alive. Receive a joyful heart that is good medicine. Receive a tranquil heart that gives life to your flesh. Receive the breath of God's Spirit. Be raised from your graves. We decree against your negative words. Your hope is not lost. Your hope is in Christ who raises you from the grave. You are not lost. You are found by the one who loves you. The Lord puts his spirit of life within you. You are not cut off. You are reconnected to the giver of life. And we're putting faith, declaring words to break down the strongholds that wrap around this generation. And the Lord is saying, if you will do this, I'm going to bring freedom and deliverance. The power is in our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you look at somebody who's bound and you just say, oh, they're bound, oh, they're bound, there's death in your tongue. But if you said, you will receive life in Christ, then there's life in your tongue. And you don't say what you see, you say what God sees. You have to say what God sees. And God sees a precious person fulfilling his will, delivered from the bondage that the doors that sin opened in their life, all the depressions broken. Anybody here that God has broken depression off of your life? It's going to come on them. Hallelujah. They'll stand at their feet. They'll become a great, mighty army. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened on them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Now here's what I'm going to do. For our remaining time, I'm going to read 1 Samuel 10:1-6. Now listen. Most of the time when you look in the Bible and you hear somebody's name, you think of the worst thing that happened. Right now I want you to think, not the worst thing that happened. I want you to think of the initial good thing that the Lord released in somebody's life. Because the nation of Israel wanted a king, and Samuel was sent to anoint Saul. And this is a very good story. And it started off really wonderful. So let's look at this part. And you just go ahead and frame up that this is good, because the Lord gave me a template for the process of the development of our faith in believing for God's raising up the next generation. So here's how it starts. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. This is out of the New Living Translation. And he kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has anointed you to be the ruler of Israel. And here we have Samuel, who never one word fell to the ground. Perfect prophetic power. And he pours on this ointment on Saul's head. Kisses him. And says, the Lord has anointed you king. And the Lord highlighted this. I put up a slide. The Lord has a mighty anointing he is placing on this next generation. He has a mighty anointing. It's a ruling authority. It's a powerful ruling authority. I received the Lord when I was 17 years old. I was praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 18. I didn't know who I was or what I was doing. I was just sharing the stuff. I felt like, hey, I'm just a beggar at the table, and look at this food. And I grew. I grew in certain areas and things, but then I didn't get freed until I was in my early 30s. It took all my 20s. I was just full of darkness, and I was walking with the Lord, but I was bound. That's why you come here, you're going to end up on the potter's wheel. Because you come to the thrower. And the Lord told me I was his thrower. And the thrower, the name thrower, comes from the person who puts clay on the potter's wheel. That's the historic place from that name. The Lord said, you're my thrower. When people get around me, they end up on the potter's wheel. Just the nature of the calling. And I've been spinning on that thing for a while. How about you? Is it good? It ain't no carousel ride. It's a transformational work of the Spirit of God, where God says, this flaw, you're not going to have it anymore. Hallelujah. This thing that's going to, we're going to rebuild you into a beautiful vessel of honor, and I'm going to pour my, you're going to be a vessel made useful to the Master, and he's going to pour good stuff through you. So, the Lord has a mighty anointing he's placing on this next generation. This next part says, when you leave, he says to him, when you leave today, you'll see that these two men. Now, this is Samuel. Samuel is prophetically speaking to Saul about what he's about to go through, okay? So he tells him, he's still in the flow of prophetic. He says, when you leave me today, you will see two men beside Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will tell you that the donkeys have been found and that your father has stopped worrying about them and is now worried about you. And he's asking, have you seen my son? The Lord is, he just knows how to put this stuff together. Next slide. Although they were, this next generation is looking for what is lost, and their parents are worried, the Lord knows exactly where they are. Let the faith fill up your heart. This is a beautiful template for the process that the Lord is saying, I'm going to put faith in you. I've anointed them, and now I know where they are. Even though everybody's upset, they have no clue. Verse 3, when you get to the Oak of Tabor, you will see three men coming towards you who are on the way to worship God at Bethel. One will be bringing three young goats, another will have three loaves of bread, and the third will be carrying a wineskin full of wine, and they will greet you and offer you two loaves, which you are to accept. I feel like the screen, please. The Lord, go ahead, next slide. The Lord has provision for them coming to them through God's people, and they will accept it. There is provision coming to the next generation through the family of God, to the worshipers, to the people of God, and they will open up to it. They will receive it. It will be timely, and they will receive. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a template, a process. We can embrace the factual, spiritual dealing of the Holy Spirit on this next generation. Then it says, when you arrive at Gibeah of God, now listen to this, this is really interesting, where the garrison of the Philistines is located. These are the adversaries. You will meet a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship. They will be playing a harp, a tambourine, a lute, and a lyre, and they will be prophesying. Next slide. In the midst of the enemies of God's people, they will encounter a group of worshipers who hear God and speak for Him. Let's go ahead and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that anointing is on who we're resourcing. I just speak it over you in the name of Jesus. A new season of the power of prophetic help coming to your teams in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Let's just say, Lord, let that manifest. Let that manifest. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And the next verse says, and at that time, Samuel saying to Saul, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. And you will be changed into a different person. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon them. Let everybody, the Holy Spirit's coming upon this next generation. Powerfully. And they will hear God, and they will speak what He is saying. Next slide. And they will be changed into a different person by the Spirit of the Lord. You got to see it. You got to see it. You got to say it. See what God sees. So here's what I want to do. This time, instead of shouting this, I just want you to speak with a deep conviction. I want to go over these points. Okay? Would you say them with me? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Actually, that wasn't it, but that was really good. You guys are really good. So what we do is we speak life. So those points that I pointed out in the process, declare this with me. The Lord has a mighty anointing He's placing on this next generation. Although they are looking for what is lost and their parents are worried, the Lord knows exactly where they are. The Lord has provision for them coming to them from through God's people. They will accept it. In the midst of the enemies of God's people, they will encounter a group of worshipers who hear God and speak for Him. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon them. They will hear God and speak what He is saying. And they will be changed into a different person by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord now. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this assignment on our life. We thank you, Lord, for the... Wow, I feel like there's cracking in the walls. There's cracking in the breaches. There's cracking. There's things that are even beginning to break now. In Jesus' name, there's things that have held back. These works of darkness, these tormenting spirits, these lying demonic things. There's a spiritual hunger, and many have opened up to the darkness to find their way, and they've opened up to things that are of demonic influence. And the Lord says, "That's nothing to me. That's like spraying some bug spray into a bunch of gnats, and they just flee. The Lord's breath will take down everything of the adversary." Let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. And He puts in us this authority to pray. Just go ahead and say, "I want to be a part of the miracle process." Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Pray. Let's praise Him. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to just lift your head to the Lord just for a moment. If you're not walking the way you want to walk with Jesus, the Lord wants you to open up afreshly to the work of His Spirit right now. If you want to go further with Him, would you just go ahead and tell Him, "I want more of who You are in my heart and life"? Would you do that? Just go ahead and tell the Lord. Say, "Father God, I want You. I want You. I want You. Less of me, more of You." Just like John said, "He must increase, I must decrease." In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's a Spirit of the Lord that's here, and He knows how to say things way beyond what I do. He knows how to talk right into a heart and cause things to be changed and broken into and loved and solved and healed and freed. And He just does all of that. He does all of that in a moment when we stand before Him. Spirit of God, come. For those who, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I ask that there'd come the deep work of salvation in this group, that there wouldn't be wandering around, but there'd be settled, passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ. There would come a fresh anointing on each of us, no matter the age, for the breakthrough power of the anointing of Jesus Christ. That when we speak, there's a conviction to liberate. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Because that's what the world needs. And Lord, each of us here want to settle that we'll fulfill Your purpose in our lifetime. We want to fulfill Your purpose, not our purpose. We're tired of futzing around with our own misgivings about what we think we should be. We just want to surrender everything of who we are to You, and You tell us, and watch it. Then we'll be filled with love, filled with life, filled with the jubilation of knowing who You are. And then, Lord, that anointing can flow forth, and we'll see the miracle dimension of Jesus happening in the culture around us. Thank You for that picture You gave me just a minute ago, where the crack in the wall that holds captives, you're breaking in as we pursue this prayerful pressing in. You're breaking through. You're breaking through. You're breaking through. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a few people down here that will be praying if you need extra prayer today. If you are settling something in your heart saying, I'm going to walk more fully and completely with the Lord, come on down. We'll pray for that to be sealed up and be a good thing. Amen. Love on each other. Blessings.